Well, good morning and welcome to chapel this morning. Special welcome to the Forbes. It's lovely to see three Forbes here this morning. They haven't come a week early. You're part of the congregation. Great. Let's go through. This morning, Hoppy's in the house, everybody. Which is always good. Oh, round of applause. Very good. So Dave is leading us through continuing our theme on the Holy Spirit. And this morning's title is The Spirit of Truth. Watch the screen for clever graphics. There we go. I did know this anyway, but 1 minute's research found that the mirror is the recognized symbol for truth. A, because a mirror doesn't lie. Ain't that the truth? And also, it's inward-looking, which I thought was quite good. And that's relevant for what we're going to be sharing with you in a moment. Our passage is going to be John 16, just a few verses, 12 to 15 this morning. I know we're in for a treat of what Dave's got prepared for us. There's even a quiz, so that'll be good. This week's all-important prayer diary is out, thank you Jeff, on the usual platforms. We've got some physical copies as well, if you haven't yet seen that. Just a couple of things to highlight. Try praying. If you weren't here last week, we started with the try praying leaflets. There's some more at the back if you weren't here, or you've already given yours away. If you feel led, we've had them a week now, it's time to try giving. So that's a nice thing to do, try to share those. Somebody's just coming in, which is good. So you can try giving. There's some very useful Bible verses that Jeff's highlighted for us in the notice sheet. So have a look at those, which will help guide us through. At the all-important members meeting that we had this week, just a heads up that we announced that the first home group will indeed be Tuesday 30th of May. So got about a month to think about that, and there'll be some more details coming out soon. But it'll be at Barry and Jenny's house. We have, as a chapel, ordered some gospels. They're not here yet. Please just see Liz or myself if you'd like some, and we'll get them to you this coming week. So there's a really good Christian message in there, and you can have those as a keepsake or share it with somebody. And that's all ready for obviously the 6th of May. Can we just highlight, and there'll be more details again later, Maintenance Day, see Garth or myself. And we'll have a fun time together on that Friday, middle of May, Marge is already going to come and paint the railings, which she's done before. So that's a good yardstick for you. If Marge can do that, just turn up, even for 10 minutes, just to talk to somebody while they're doing a little cleaning job or whatever. And it's normally a good time of fellowship. I have been given and asked to highlight it, the Christian Music Festival. I've only got one little brochure, so I've photographed it for the screen, but there's a timetable. So see me, or I'll try and give it out, which should be a good time. Okay. So shall we commit our time together to the Lord in prayer as we start our service? So, dear Lord, we praise and thank you for all our blessings, for this day, for how you interact with us, for the chance to meet together in your name. Bless this morning's service, we pray. Be with Dave as he ministers to us. Please bless the collection taken up here today. May the monies be used for the extension of your kingdom out from this small place. But the chance to do mighty things in your name. Thank you for your great faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's sing now about that great faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. A lovely old song. Okay, stand to sing. I will explain the bear. What Marge gave him to me this morning, and I said, oh, I'll hold him up when I mention the coronation. But before you put in an order before next week, I'd put my order in about 6 months ago, didn't I? So that's why he's keeping me company this morning. We talked very briefly about the Holy Spirit. This is our reading, John 16, and we often see the dove used to portray. I couldn't say this so eloquently, so yes, I'm reading this. The Holy Ghost cannot be transformed into a dove, but the sign of a dove was given to John, who had baptized Jesus to signify the truth of the deed, as the dove is an emblem or token of truth and innocence. So we thought it was a nice explanation. And we found another graphic, Hobbs and I. Again, that's our reading today, John 16, with an arrow. And the Holy Spirit leads us to repentance and obviously also gives us direction. Okay. So here's our Bible reading. And again, more eloquently than I could do it, we've got the words. It's nice to see the words, isn't it? We've got the words and the spoken word. We've got our reading twice. It's good to hear something twice. If you're like me, you need to hear things more than once. So here's the first one.
I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
Okay, and then we have the reading again, and this time a slightly different version. This is from the Message. And this time we've got some nice symbols, some imagery that we particularly liked. So hopefully this is helpful.
The Spirit will guide you into the truth. Oh, I have much more to say to you, but right now it would be more than you could understand. The Spirit shows what is true and will come and guide you into the full strength. The Spirit doesn't speak on his own. He will tell you only what he has heard from me, and he'll let you know what's going to happen. The Spirit will bring glory to me by taking my message and telling it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I said that the Spirit takes my message and tells it to you.
Well, before I hand over to Hoppy, who's going to guide us through this morning's prayers of intercession, let's sing again, Speak, Lord, in the Stillness.
sit down. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you this morning. And I'm going to, first of all, before we do the talk, I'll just guide you through a chance to pray together for the intercessions. And what I'm going to do is I'll just introduce a category. We're going to start thinking about praying for the world and particular countries. And then I'll just leave a gap, a bit of quiet. We just sung about in the stillness. And if you want to quietly, silently, just lift up a country or a place or a situation in the world to God, or if you want to pray out loud, there'll be a little bit of time to do that. And then I'll say a prayer at the end of each section. So there'll be four different sections that we're going to do this morning. Okay, so first of all, we are going to lift up the world to God. We're probably very aware of different situations around. I'll begin that. I'm very aware that it's not in the news much, but in Port-au-Prince, which is the capital of Haiti, they're in a terrible situation because gangs have taken over running the place. So, Lord, I just offer that city to you of Port-au-Prince. Pray for your peace. So, Lord, we offer to you those places we thought of, those prayers we prayed out loud or silently. Lord, you know this world. And the angels declared at Christmas peace on earth. And that's what we would pray for, Lord, please, in your name today. Amen. And we're now going to take a moment to offer up people, friends, family that we know and care for. Offering them to God for any help that they might need. And during this time, if you'd like to pray for Jim and Claire, then feel free to do that, and I'll begin with a short prayer for them. Lord, we lift up Jim and Claire to you at the moment with all they're facing. We pray for courage and for stamina, for your help and strength for them, please. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Lord, again, we offer to you all these people we thought of, people that perhaps have come into our minds as we sat here now. You know our hopes and desires and longings for those people, and we offer them to you now in this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you'd like to think about your week ahead, I wonder what things you're facing that you will need to do or sort out, or maybe things that are challenges for you this week. In the quiet now, just take a moment to offer those to God, anything that you need his help with this week, and then I will close this little part with a prayer about that. Lord, you are God, not just of the big things, not just of the whole universe, but of the details of our lives. And you understand us, and you know what we're each of us needing to do this week. And Lord, your word tells us to offer our worries to you and to turn our worries into prayers. And so that's what we do now, Lord. All those things we've thought about and we've offered to you, Lord, please help us through this coming week with all that we need to do. Help us to sense you with us. And Lord, if we need guidance, if we need courage, if we need patience, whatever we need, Lord, we pray that you will give us that for this week. In Jesus' name, amen. And final part of our prayer is just to offer ourselves again a moment of fresh commitment. Every day can be a new start for us. So this is a moment where perhaps if we might want to reflect on things that have gone wrong, things that we have done wrong, we've got wrong, and we offer ourselves to the God of grace and forgiveness and fresh start. So we'll just do that for a moment. Lord, in your word, we read of so many people meeting Jesus and starting their lives again. And Lord, thank you that this day and each day we can come to you afresh. And we offer all we are, Lord, all the good things, all the bad things, all the strengths and weaknesses, all the mistakes we've made perhaps in the past week. Lord, thank you that we can bring them to you and leave them at the foot of your cross where you have given everything for us. And Lord, thank you for a new start in you each day because of all that Jesus has done. In his name we pray. Amen. Just thinking about God speaking to us and the Spirit of Truth, we're going to sing twice through the next song, which is Spirit of the Living God. And then we'll think more about what that means for us today. I'd like to stand up. Quite a song, really, isn't it? Quite a prayer to pray. But as we're going to hopefully see, you know, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of God comes to us and he reveals all about Jesus, who is full of grace and truth. So we're going to spend a little moment thinking about that now. Just completely off subject, I read a great little joke the other day. There's a comedian called Milton Jones who's a Christian, and he's done a little book of sermon illustrations. And one of them was, some people think of church as a big helicopter. They don't get too close because they don't want to get drawn into the rotors. I like that. There's truth in it as well. I try not to get too close to rotors, I've got to be honest. Right. So, what it means for us to get to know the Spirit of Truth. And I think what's interesting about that passage is, from my, I don't know what your experience of the Holy Spirit has been in your life, but I've certainly encountered the Holy Spirit as a spirit of power and seen him sort of do amazing things in my life and in the lives of others, and I've heard people talk about that. And we do often think about the power of the Holy Spirit. But here Jesus is really emphasizing that one of the main jobs of the Holy Spirit is truth. And we live in an age when we need that, don't we? Which we're going to think a little bit about. We live in an age of fake truth, whatever that means. It's not even real anyway, is it? You can't have fake truth, really. You've either got truth or you haven't got truth. So we're going to think a little bit about that. But first, part of my quiz for you this morning. Some of you may have encountered this question before. So you come to two people in a wood, and they're each standing by their own pathway, and you've got to pick a path. One of them always tells the truth, and the other one always lies. There is a question that you can ask them, and you will find out the right way to go. Does anyone know this? Has anyone encountered this before? Ooh, that's interesting. Anyone got any suggestions as to what the question might be? One of the people always lies, and one of them always tells the truth, but there is a surefire question that will always show you which path to choose.
Are you the right path?
Let me just think about that. I think it won't work because the person telling the truth would say, they would both say yes, wouldn't they? They would both say yes because the liar would lie about their path being right. Yes. So, but that's a good start. That's actually a good start. Which one wouldn't you go on? Ooh. Now, does that work? It might work. So the person telling the truth would tell you the right one. But the person lying would still tell you the wrong one, wouldn't they? They would still say, whichever one was the wrong path, whichever one was the right path, the liar would say, oh, I wouldn't go on that one. Say again, sorry?
Where have you come from?
Oh, gosh, these are questions I haven't considered. I'll chew on that one. I'll tell you, certainly this question works. What would the other person say? Because there's always a lie involved then, you see. Because if you ask the person who's telling the truth what the other person would say, they will tell you the lie. Which is, let's say the wrong path is path A. So if the other person would say, who's a liar. So the person telling the truth would tell you what the liar would say. And the liar would say path A. So you take path B. Okay? Path B is the right one. If you're asking the liar, what would the other person say? They would say A as well, because the other person would actually say B, but they would lie about that, and they'd say that the other person will say A, so you always take path B. Does that make sense? There's always a lie involved, you see, when you say to them, what would the other person say? Nick, another boring one.
Yes.
Policemen and women here, so I hope I've got this right, or ex-policemen and women. If they get a suspect in and they're lying, all they do is keep asking the same sorts of questions from different angles time and again. Because the problem with telling a lie is, you've got to remember what you said. It isn't really what happened. You're all the time making up stuff in your head. And if you ask someone who's lying enough times, it'll start to unravel. Because they won't be able to remember everything that they've said, because they've constructed the lie. Whereas if you're telling the truth, all you're trying to do is remember what happened, what really happened. So lying gets people into a lot of bother, as we found out here. Okay, this is a simpler thing. Let's have a true or false quiz. And Jeff said to me beforehand, is the answer to all the questions going to be Jesus? There's a joke about that. But anyway, don't worry. It isn't, because it's simply true or false. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to vote on whether you think this is true or false. Okay, here we go. Let's start with strawberries contain more vitamin C than oranges. Who thinks that's true? Can you put a hand in the air if you think that's true? Strawberries contain more vitamin C than oranges. Dr. Matthew. Who thinks that's false? Well done, you came second. It's actually true. It is actually true. So eat your strawberries, they're very good for you. Okay. Many Eskimos have fridges. Is that true or false? Many Eskimos have fridges. Who thinks that's true? Eskimos live where it's very cold. Who thinks it's false? Some people are on the fence here, I can tell. Well, the truth is they do, because it keeps their food from freezing. So they have to have a fridge. Okay, a couple more. Butterflies taste with their feet. Who thinks that's true? Quite a few. Who thinks that's false? Came second again. Very good. No, they do. They do. And there's one more I'm trying to find here, but I've lost it. Here we go. Slugs don't have noses. Is that true or false? Slugs don't have noses. Who thinks it's true? Who thinks it's false? Anyone know how many they've got? They've got four. Imagine what that's like to have a cold with a slug. So there we go. But I wanted just to do that to highlight, A, quizzes are always fun, but B, this is all about the truth. What's true and what is false. Now, I said we live in an age of fake truth. Now, when I was chatting with Nick about these the other day, we realised that two vital ones have been missed off. This I just came off recently. These are the top 10 conspiracy theories, okay? Now, conspiracy theories now are very big because we have a little thing called the internet. And so if you say, well, actually, the moon is made of cheese, that will go around the internet, and before you know it, you'll have 10 million followers who believe you, because that's what the internet's like. Well, these are some of the top things some people believe. The famous one is that the moon landings never really happened. They just faked it and filmed this studio. I'd never heard this one before, but Paul McCartney died in 1966. And actually, have you heard that one before? Yeah, I never heard that one before. But I did see it in a TV program after I'd read that. There's the old aliens one, isn't there, that they've landed and the Americans are hiding all this stuff. The Earth is flat, of course. Flat Earth theory. I like this one. Birds aren't real.
I've never heard that before, and I'm not sure how they explain it. Has anyone here heard that before? Now, what were the two, Nick, that you pointed out that were missed off?
Elvis is alive.
Elvis is still alive.
And who shot JFK?
And, of course, yeah, that's a big debate still going on, who shot JFK. But, you know, this whole idea that you can make something up and make it stick. And I think we've almost, this fake truth, odd phrase, isn't it? Because it's a lie. It's a true lie. It's not a fake truth, actually. It's a lie, if you like. One of the big ones on the internet is to do with an organisation called the Illuminati, I think they're called. And they were made up in the 1970s by a couple of guys who wanted to show that you could make up something stupid and everyone would believe it. And the Illuminati came from a couple of years back. They were a little organisation in Belgium, I think. But they said, no, they're a secret organisation that control everything that's going on in the world. And then they forgot about it. And then the internet came along. And if you look them up on the internet now, you will find millions of people are scared of the Illuminati. But we know it was made up in the 1970s by a couple of guys who wanted to disprove this kind of thing. And it's got out of hand. So, you know, people tag on to different things. And I wonder whether we tag on to things sometimes because of the gap that we've got inside, which is supposed to be filled by God. And we fill it with lots of other things. And we get a sense that, you know, the world is broken and it's not right. Why is it broken? Why is it not right? Oh, it's that thing. It's the Illuminati. It's something else, you know. And we've lost sight of the truth, of course, which is what Jesus is talking about. A little moment about truth that I thought I would show you. It's from a film called A Few Good Men. If you know the film, you might know what's coming. This is one of the famous film quotes that's gone down in history that Jack Nicholson says at the end of this.
Ask for a recess. I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The corporal will wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, why did he have to be transferred? Colonel.
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth.
That's the quote. Jack Nicholson saying, you can't handle the truth. And that people quote it, and it's sort of used in various ways. But what I love about Jesus is that, well, first to say, the truth can be a weapon. And it can be very hard, and people hit each other with it. And they prove that they're right, and other people are wrong. And Jesus was never about that. Because as the Bible tells us, Jesus was full of grace and truth. And that's what the message that comes across time and again, in one of the Psalms, it talks about truth and mercy have embraced. They've come together in God. And that's what we're always talking about with the truth. I used to do a lot of street theatre. And sometimes I'd get the feeling, before we went out there, that we were going to hit people as hard as we could with the good news. We were going to smack them with it, because they were all wrong out there. And they needed to change. Well, it might have been right in one sense, but it wasn't the way Jesus did it. Jesus always came in with grace and truth and with love. To Jesus, truth was always about love. Always about love as well. And compassion. And bringing a new start into people's lives. So we're told, this is at the start of John's Gospel, the Word, God, became flesh and lived amongst us. And he was overflowing with grace and truth. There's a line from a film in the movie Dead Poets Society. I've probably quoted it before because I quote it a lot. Where one of the boys makes up a poem. And in it, it's got this line, truth is like a blanket that always leaves your feet cold. And I would agree with that. If it comes without love, truth without love is a hard thing that actually can harden your heart rather than soften it. But truth with love is a very powerful thing indeed. And it's embodied in Jesus. This is the actual Bible verses that we've heard this morning. And, you know, one of the things about it is that Jesus helps us to receive the truth. In the Old Testament, people were scared of God when he turned up. They didn't want to get too close because they were afraid they would die. And that's why the shepherds at Christmas terrified when the angel appears. It's why Mary is terrified when an angel appears. Because an encounter with God from the Old Testament was seen as something you should avoid that because, you know, we're sinful and we'll get burned up. And Jesus brings the truth in such a way that it becomes a wonderful gift to us. It becomes, as I say, something full of hope and love. And here we get a description of it, you know. The Holy Spirit, when he comes into our lives, he won't be coming in on his own. And again, we can get sidetracked. Sometimes we can be all about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is always about Jesus. He's always come to bring Jesus into our lives. That's the whole thing, isn't it? He will take what Jesus has said and he will bring it into our lives. And he will bring glory to God as he does that. We not only live in an age of fake truth, we live in an age where truth is changeable. This is an album cover from a few years ago now, a band called the Manic Street Preachers. And the album was called This Is My Truth, Tell Me Yours. That's a very popular phrase now. Well, I have my truth, you have yours. Well, what the Bible says is actually there are some truths that are actually solid and you can build your life on them, and they aren't changeable. And it can be for everybody. It's not just that you can have your truth and I'll have my own truth, but actually that we have a God who is the rock of our salvation is a phrase that's used, isn't it? And this truth is not changeable. It is reliable. It's one of the big messages of the Bible, that God doesn't change and that we can build our lives on him. But it's difficult, and it's difficult to perhaps talk about this in an age when it is seen as being like, well, this is what's right for me and that's what's right for you. And I understand that. But also, perhaps we would say, you know, but there is so much to discover that the Holy Spirit brings. When the Holy Spirit brings the truth into our lives, it sets us free. It sets us free. That's the promise that Jesus told his disciples. I recently saw, it's a film that's about 2 years old now. It's called The Most Reluctant Convert. I knew I was going to forget the title. It's about C.S. Lewis and his conversion. And what happened with C.S. Lewis was he was a hardened atheist and a materialist. And he'd been trained by a man who we called The Knock. I think he mentions it in this clip, who was a very clever man but was an atheist, you know, as well. And what happened was it all started to fall apart when he got friendly with two Christian friends. Well, before that, he'd been reading some Christian books, G.K. Chesterton. He'd been reading some of his. And he kept encountering these really clever, brilliant men who believed in God. That was a bit of a problem for him, because he thought he didn't need to believe in God. And one of the crux points for him was this. Being a materialist, apparently, what he believed was that all the thoughts in your head were generated by atoms bashing together. That's how it worked. Atoms bash together in your head and they create thoughts. But then his friends challenged him, because they said, well, how can we think sensible, reasonable thoughts if it's just accidental? And more than that, how can we have morals? Why do we have morals? And as one of them said, I know what a straight line looks like because I know what a crooked line looks like. Well, why? If it's just atoms clashing around in my head, why have I come to that conclusion and that conclusion? So all of this was urging him towards believing in God. So he decided, that was his point of kind of being the most reluctant convert, as he described himself. He'd started to believe in God, but he hadn't yet believed in Jesus. It was just God. And so his friends, J.R.R. Tolkien was one of them, and a guy called Hugo Dyson was another. And this is a conversation he's having with them around Jesus and Christianity.
So I may be prepared to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I simply can't accept his claim to be God.
Oh, come on, Jack. How could a mere man be called a great moral teacher and say the sort of things Jesus said?
Such as?
That he always existed.
That he'll come again to judge the world.
Such men are judged frauds. Lunatics.
In spite of my resistance, they convinced me that nothing else in all literature is just like the Gospels. Myths are like it in one way with its stories of the miraculous. History is like it in another with its attention to minute details. But nothing is simply like it. And no person is like the person depicted.
I'm sure there are many people who believe themselves to be God. Our hospitals are full of them.
Oh, come on, Jack, be serious. No great moral teacher has ever made that claim except Jesus, and you know it.
And he went on and on and on.
What do you mean?
Well, again, to forgive sins. And that he himself is the end of passing in every transgression. Look,
in anyone else, this would be called silly. Suppose you told me that two of your colleagues had lost you a top professorship by telling lies about your character. And I replied, freely forgive them both. Would you not think this sheer lunacy?
It would be sheer lunacy.
Yet, even those who opposed Jesus admitted that he expressed the moral truth of depth and purity, full of wisdom and shrewdness.
Wisdom and shrewdness. You make him sound like Solomon the Great.
On the contrary, history repeatedly calls him humble and meek.
Not that you want to notice that, of course, Jack. Humility and meekness are the last things one would ascribe to someone who makes claims worthy of being a megalomaniac.
It is, you know, the more you think about that, you cannot get away with calling Jesus a good moral teacher, which many people would like to. If you do that, you have to sidestep so much of what was behind what he said, which was, of course, that he was God. And that he wasn't just the Messiah. People wanted a Messiah who would rescue them. They just wanted a good leader who would come and set them free from the Romans. And the Messiah didn't mean you were God's son. That was not part of the package to them. So when Jesus came as the Messiah, he had a lot to reveal to them about who he really was. And, you know, atheism is very popular today. But the more I've watched this film and thought about their arguments, the more it makes so much sense. You know, Jesus is either really important or he's not very important at all, really. And if he's really important, then we've got to look into what he said and why. Not, we can't just package him up with other great teachers. Because, as they say, no other great teachers made the claims that Jesus claimed about himself. And he is the truth. He described himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth about everything. That's what he said. And again, that's, well, what does that mean for us? What does that begin to mean? These are just a few of the things that Jesus said here. I've bracketed it with those other bits. If Jesus is telling us the truth, then he is way more than just a moral teacher telling us the truth. If he is not telling us the truth, then he's not a good moral teacher because he's lying about who he says he is. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So he was the way, the truth, the life, the door, the gate, the food that nourishes us, that really nourishes our spirits and our souls and our minds. You know, this is who Jesus said he was. And yet he always said it, I believe, with a smile. He wasn't here to beat anybody up. He said himself, I've not come into the world to judge it. I've come to rescue it, to be its saviour, with the truth that can set people free. Here's another one. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And what does that mean? Well, I believe this. When Jesus said, you know, the Spirit will lead you into all the truth, Jesus is the truth about God, the world, the universe, life, eternity, you and me, everything. It's not just spiritual truth. It's not just truth about religion or about what to believe. It's the truth about how the whole world works. Because if we read the beginning, we're told that it's through him everything was made. Through Jesus, everything, physical stuff, everything began its life. And so Jesus understands how everything works. And I think that's one of the great things, you know, just in leading us in our prayers for this coming week, why it's really good to be specific and say to Jesus, you know, I need help with filling out this form. I need help with knowing where the money is going to come from to pay this bill. It may not be that the money is going to drop out of the sky, but we can bring it all to God. I need help with this fear. I need help trying to do this job. It's all there to be brought to Jesus because he is the truth about all these things and he can help us with all these things. And again, I'm not promising that our lives will get really easy when we do that. But we have Jesus with us helping us in everything that we do. Everything that we do. Because that's he lived that life. He worked, didn't he, for decades as a carpenter builder. So he knows all the ups and downs of life and what makes things good and what makes things difficult. One of the great truths about Jesus, of course, one of the eternal truths, is this. I'm going to write on my hands now, which I don't recommend. It's not very good for us, is it, really? But I'm going to do that. I don't think I've done this here before. I was inspired by the prophet Ezekiel, who wrote on a couple of blocks to illustrate people coming back together, unity. So I've written you on that palm there. That's you. And in my weak hand, so it's not going to look very good, I'm going to write God. Because God made himself weak in order for this to happen. He made himself a servant and a slave, and he looked like a criminal when he was dying. There's God there. And one of the greatest truths is this. Because of what Jesus has done, that's you and that's God, and there is nothing in between. Jesus has opened that door for us to go through, to choose to follow him. Not because we're good, but because he is great. He has opened up that way. He has brought us and God together. That's one of the greatest truths. And that does affect everything we do. You know, I think often some of the ways we see ourselves, and I include myself in this at times, you know, we don't appreciate how valuable and precious we are to God. And when we see this again, it reminds us how precious we are, that God would go all that way to do that, to open up that life, to bring together you and God, to put us together with nothing separating us. As I say, not because we're good people, because if you're like me, you make 100 mistakes a day. But, you know, God has declared that. He's brought the love of Jesus into this life so that it affects us and can help us in everything that we do, as well as lead us into eternal life with him. And that's one of the greatest truths. So, in a way, just to illustrate this, I wanted to show you this little clip from The Chosen, which is the ongoing series about Jesus, which is you can find on the internet. And this is one of the great biblical encounters where there's this woman who's been sick for 12 years and she has heard about Jesus, and she doesn't understand everything about him. She doesn't know everything or believe everything. All she knows is that maybe if she reaches out to him, he can help her. And so this is what happens.
Whoever touched me, come forward,
teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise, you are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and all of it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment.
Who told you I got here?
A man in the pool. And he was right. The blood is easy.
My daughter,
no one's got her anymore.
Luca. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was intended to be dealt with the right way.
I know, but it wasn't this. It was your faith. She was taking so long. Oh, we can take her. She is clean. You have blessed me today. And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. Be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well.
My favorite moment of that is where someone tries to interrupt. It says about how she's unclean in their society because of her illness. And Jesus just goes, she is clean. That's the truth that sets us free. That's the truth that set her free. And we saw her reaction. You know, Jesus understands, I think, with the conversation that they've added this conversation around what is in the Gospels. But I think that's because it isn't just about her getting physically well. She has been knocked down for 12 years by people telling lies about her, that she's not acceptable to God anymore. Because of something that was out of her control. You know, and she's been damaged by that. And she's been pushed away by other human beings. And suddenly here's Jesus doing the opposite, telling her to lift up her face so he can look her in the eyes and tell her that she is a child of God. And then that she is clean. And I understand, you know, I love where he says about, must have been exhausting for you. You know, Jesus understands our lives. He understands what weighs us down, the burdens that we carry. I'll say a little prayer, and then I'll just show you one last little bit of the Bible. Lord Jesus, thank you that you understand. You understand what weighs us down, and you understand what sets us free. Lord, we don't just want to listen to me talking about the Spirit of Truth this morning. It would be just so much better if you can just keep working your Spirit of Truth into our lives. So that we discover more and more about the truth that sets us free and the truth that is real in this world. Save us from the lies and open our eyes to where you are working and where we can be involved in that, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to leave you with this. This is the best thing that the Spirit of Truth can lead us into, really. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love doesn't demand its own way. Love is not irritable and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It's never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. This described Jesus' life, didn't it, really? Described who he was and what he lived out. And then he invited us to follow in his footsteps. But not on our own. With the strength and the power and the inspiration of his Holy Spirit working in us and through us. We're going to sing our final song now. Which is all about Jesus and his Spirit and work in our lives and what he's done for us. So we're going to sing In Christ Alone. Let's stand up.
My love is mine.
this drought and storm? What makes up love? What makes up peace? When fears are still and striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, from this God in countless pain, truth and love, righteousness, scorned by the words he came. Great words there of affirmation about our faith. So I thought we'd just close by saying the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, let me just give you that. Yeah. It's a bit mind-bending, isn't it? Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, okay. Yes, there's a nice little discussion thing. Right, yeah. Oh, yes, thank you. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was surprised.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. And now I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you.
I see occasionally. Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah, I'll have a look. I'm at Lee Abbey on Wednesday, so therefore we have a copy. I'll have a look. Okay, I'm back in 2 weeks actually. But anyway, I might. Yes, I'll just watch out for it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he was. Right, yes, I don't recognise it anymore. Thank you. Yeah, that'd be great, thank you. Oh, I can't find my... Oh, there it is. That one? No. That one?
Oh, no. She gets her clothes out.
But that was fun. I liked it.
I think that's early to the top of Yeah.